G'day, everyone. Just a quick reminder that the contents of our episodes are based on discussions and experience that we have lived here at Elephant Advisory and are not to be taken as financial advice. We suggest any listener always seeks qualified professional advice that's tailored to your specific needs. Now that formality is done with, sit back and enjoy today's episode. Welcome, everyone, to the Elephants on Business podcast, improving your small business journey one episode at a time. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about leadership and why it's important to work on your leadership in a small business. G'day, Oz.
Oh, it's great to be back.
And so, for everyone listening out there, you know, there's a point somewhere in your small business where it transitions from you to having a whole bunch of people, staff, processes, systems. And this is where leadership kicks in. And yeah. I don't think many small business owners, myself included, worry about leadership at the start because you're just knee-deep in just solving certain problems and fixing, band-aid fixing things and just trying to grind through the first couple of years.
Essentially, you're just grinding and you're not really thinking about, you know, what skill sets do I need to develop, you know, in order to push the business to that next level in a sense.
And you never value leadership because the hardest thing is you're never taught leadership. You're not taught it at school. Yes, they say that, you know, playing sport, maybe being in certain areas of school life, you can develop some leadership attributes, but you're never directly in control of people, processes, money, outcomes, well into your adulthood. And I feel like by the time you're in adulthood, you already have set ways of doing things that might be incorrect.
Yeah, and not only that, like, you know, you're employed at that time as well and, you know, you probably went through a couple of different jobs and then there's different styles of leadership. So then your view of leadership can be skewed and, you know, you don't know, you know, what is the correct tactic or technique to develop. And, you know, it's tough and we're not obviously sitting here and saying we're obviously the best leaders in the world. It's something that we're trying to improve like daily as well. And as you said, you know, when you start off a small business and it's just yourself and, you know, your laptop, you know, there's not much to worry about.
There's not much to lead, right?
As the team starts growing, you know, you're forced into that position, which is good because then it's like you're being thrown into the deep end.
Yeah.
But, you know, you need to, you know, try and self-develop, I guess, and, you know, improve daily and, you know, be mindful. You know, there is, I guess, a big learning curve when it comes to
And you know, it's probably the reason that you're listening to podcasts, hopefully like this, because you're trying to improve. And I'm a big believer of just incremental improvements over time. But I think the hardest thing is that you don't know you need to improve on leadership until you make some mistakes or the business doesn't go in the right area and you try and dissect and say, it's the client's fault, it's my pricing, it was the staff members. But really, I fundamentally believe now that everything flows up to this concept of leadership. And so today we're going to just go through, obviously, Oz and I's high-level talking points on leadership and our views on it and why it's important. Obviously, we just said it's super important. Yeah. And again, Oz and I openly acknowledge we're not great leaders. We want to be great leaders. You go through waves of leadership change in your mind. You go through back and forth. But today is kind of our high-level things that we try and remind ourselves when we want to lead our business and hopefully helps you guys. So, the first one, Oz, is obviously when you start a business, you're just great at a to-do list.
Yeah.
You've got a massive list. You tick, 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 tick. And we call that in our business, we call that an action plan. It's not really a to-do list. It's just a plan of action. It's a very micro. It's generally things you need to do today or by the end of the week.
Yeah.
As your business grows, your action plan gets too big and you start to give it to people, right?
Yeah, you start telling
them. But really, what you need before handing out your action plan is to set a strategy.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is one of the hardest things to do because in a small business, that strategy can be moving left, right, and center very quickly.
Yeah, yeah. As you said, like, you know, obviously, you know, you want to delegate and have everyone on that same page, which is that, you know, that strategy that you're setting. But unfortunately, when it does come to small business, things do go left to right quickly, you know, things change quite rapidly at times and you just need to ensure that, you know, you're communicating that back to your staff members, and you know, conveying that strategy up and down as things do change.
I agree. I think people get really caught up and say, what is strategy? Is it a 5-year, 10-year, 20-year plan? I don't think so. Strategy is more just a system of communicating where you're going.
Yeah.
And it might have an attached time frame. It doesn't have to, but it's really just a system of saying, we're going in this direction. That can change, but constantly talking to your team about that change rather than saying, yeah, we're going in this direction, and then 2 months later, you do all these different action plans that don't align, and you go, hold on, these don't align with that strategy.
Yeah.
It's probably because you just haven't set a strategy forum or an agenda to talk about it in your business. But I think strategy is really important because it kind of frames all your action plans, and it's when you delegate tasks to people, they understand the importance of it because it's linked to a strategy.
Yeah, correct. So, like an example of that was, you know, on the accounting side, we went through a process improvement stage, like which was conveyed back to the team saying, you know, there's going to be a rollout of new ways that we're going to do things, documentation of work papers and things like that. And it's just like a heads up, you know, there's going to be a bit of a change there. And then if you do see anything that's wrong with, you know, let's say the work papers or the way things are, let's get some feedback, document it, and, you know, go through that journey. And that might be a 3 or 6 months journey of improvement, and then it will settle, and then we can go on to the next thing.
And fundamentally, that aligns to our strategy of being the best accounting business for SME clients.
Yeah.
And part of that is process improvement. If you just go to your staff and say, we're improving processes, that can sometimes feel in this example that you're just hammering your staff that they're not good enough.
Yeah.
But if you frame it and say, but our strategy is to be the best, it's just it comes from a place of growth rather than a place of yelling and screaming.
Yeah.
Again, that is the importance of strategy. I did a course at the start of the year, which is a really good online course about strategy and strategic alignment that helped me a lot. And a lot of it came back to that most business owners are amazing at doing actions. Got to fix this, got to do that, got to improve this, got to create that. They're very poor at understanding what it all means. And that's because you don't know sometimes.
Yeah, like putting like a storyline behind it or something like that.
So where possible, and I think December is a great time for business owners to sit back, spend time with family and friends and decompress and think about what they want for the next year, and then just try and communicate in a very simple sentence. This year, we're going to focus on this and high-level things, and then the action plan will come. But strategy is the most important thing, I think, and linking it to the action plan.
Yeah, beautiful.
Number two is really the rest kind of flow on from this, but number two is this concept of alignment and clear alignment in the business. And that comes again down from your strategy. When I say the word alignment, I kind of mean making sure that things don't seem out of place. So if you say that one of your goals is to get high-end clientele, well, then high-end clientele, you might start to do action things to address that. So you might say, we need to have a city office.
Yeah.
We need to have a polished brand. We need to do all these things that align to that strategy. But somewhere down the line, you might have a misalignment, which is like, we're going to have casual clothes in the office,
or like
we're going to have 10 dogs in the office. That's a really cool strategy. That's a Google strategy. But it might be misaligned to your strategy.
To what,
and sometimes when you get tired in business and fatigued, misalignment can occur just because you're just exhausted. It's really important to make sure you are aligned to that strategy. And that's why having a strategy is really important. So staff don't come in and say, well, 1 week you were happy that I could start any time, and the next week you're giving me a set deadline time. That is
misalignment. Don't come in late or how you approach like deadlines for jobs and things like that. Like, are you super strict, or, you know, is there a little bit more of a relaxed environment around the office?
Oz, some of the bosses you would have worked with in the past, the ones that you respected the most, did it ever feel like you knew what you wanted from them? You knew your place in their world, right? You had a sense of comfort in what needed to be done. You weren't like, oh, I'm not too sure why I'm doing this. You were like, you either had a very strict boss and you had to do something. Oh, sorry, a bit of work going around here. You're either very strict in what you have to do something, or they were very jovial, but they were very aligned in what they wanted.
Yeah, exactly. Like I had most of my bosses in the past have been quite strict in nature. So like the ones early on were super strict. They knew exactly what needed to be done, how to deliver it, and what the deadlines need to be. And essentially, you know,
they wouldn't waver from that.
Yeah, they wouldn't waver at all. Like, yes.
They wouldn't one day come and say, oh, we're dropping all the deadlines, or we're doing this, or we're doing that. They were very clear in their direction. They stuck by it, and maybe that was a form of leadership or maturity, but they didn't really change the course quickly.
Yeah, and especially when it came to work. Like, obviously, when you're around the office, you still have a chat, a joke, you know, have a coffee and whatnot with your boss. But when it came to, you know, delivering on work, it was super strict.
Yeah.
When I was there. And essentially, you know, if it wasn't met, you know, you're brought in and you're essentially going, what was the problem? Why didn't you deliver it? And I think it was like a learning curve for them as well. Like, was maybe the deadline too strict?
Yeah.
So they'll ask you some questions as well along the way and try to like vet out what the issues were. But most of the time you would just deliver the work because it was just like, shit, I don't want to get pulled aside.
Yeah.
You know, like he's a hard ass. So like, let's just make sure it's done.
And alignment is just that. It's just making sure that your staff know the way you operate so they can fall into line, or maybe it's not the right business. A prime example is I worked at ANZ. It was an old school structure. You worked really, really hard. It was bonus driven. You had to wear a suit every day, a tie every day, had to shave your face every day. After 4 years, I hated it. But in that 4 year period, I knew what was expected.
Yeah.
It wasn't that one day I was told one thing, the next day I was another thing, and then I didn't know how to succeed. My boss told me this is how he leads the business. This is his expectation.
Yeah, this is what he wants
from the start.
Yeah.
And so if I wanted to succeed, I had to do these things. And it was easy because I knew I needed
it was quite clear.
Whether I enjoyed it or not was a different story, but he was unwavering. Everyone in the business was that way inclined, and it did really well. Obviously, there are fallouts from that, like you get tired and, you know, maybe don't like it.
Yeah, you get burnt out a little bit potentially.
And that was just me personally. But that business was run in a very straightforward, you knew where you stood manner. So that's what I mean by alignment. Really know who you are and try and set your business up for that way of doing things.
Yeah, and it's not like we're promoting, you know, strict. Like you can set it up where, you know, we're not even wearing suits. You just, you know, you come in a little bit more relaxed. But
yeah, the other side of that is the freedom side, right? So we have a very relaxed culture where it's like, here is your job, do it. I'm not going to micromanage it. And there's pros and cons to that as well. But if you do it that way and then one day you flip to micromanaging, your staff will think
it's a lot of confusion.
It's that simple. Yeah. They think that you're confused, you're not leading them, you've set one direction and you're changing it. It sounds erratic, and that's what I mean by alignment.
Yeah.
The next one is something I am very, very passionate about is when you start a business, obviously, it's all fancy, right? You set up a company, you get this cool, call yourself. You call yourself a CEO. You call yourself a director.
Founder,
everyone
director.
Loves that. Co-founder.
Yeah.
Ultimately, those titles actually mean something. They're just not something that you just shove on LinkedIn and make yourself feel good. A director, to me, is directing the business. A founder, to me, is making the foundational parts of the business correct. They're not just some stupid title that you give yourself. So your business card looks really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And like a fundamental belief that a leader has to direct and give direction, or the founder has to make the foundations of the business, and you have to do it from the start.
Yeah, and it's hard at the start, right? So, like, you know, you do put that, you know, title on yourself.
And you feel great.
Feel great, but, you know, it does come with, obviously, heaps of responsibility. And as you said, that title does, like, as a director, you need to direct the ship of the small business.
Yeah, don't call yourself a director if you're just going to sit around and complain and expect your staff to do all the work and stuff. A director is directing the business. And if you don't understand that, and you don't understand that director might have equity, or you're an owner, you have equity, that value is only built on you and what you are.
What you get out of it and how you move your small business, you know, into, you know, whatever it's going to, you know, whatever improvements you're after or something like that. So, yeah, it is a huge responsibility.
You hear me say that so much.
Yeah, yeah. Always, you know, like if you're a director,
direct.
You know, direct. Make sure you're, you know, always improving the business.
Yeah.
You know, ensure that you know what your strategy is for the sort of the next 3 to 6 months or even a year. You know, just make sure we're ticking off the goals. And not only are we doing client work, it's also like work on the business. So, you know, separate the time to, you know, revisit the business either during work hours or after hours, like when you're sort of decompressed and maybe you can gather your thoughts and go, well, what are we actually trying to achieve here? And what are the things that I actually need to improve in the business? And, you know, make sure you're setting that path. I got
taught a long time ago that a director thing or a directorship, think of it as you are directing a ship.
Yeah.
Right? You're the captain. You're the one that chooses direction. You're the one that makes sure that you get there. Now, the captain of a ship takes breaks, they rest, but there is always someone making sure the ship is going in the right direction, has petrol, people are safe, all this kind of stuff. There is never a captain of a ship that goes, yeah, I'm just going to relax downstairs and chill. You know,
they are
watching, making sure you get from point A to point B safely, and that is the job, I think, in business as a director title, co-founder, whatever you want to call those fancy words. Take ownership for that high level. It's kind of on you to get there.
Yeah.
The next one down, obviously, is I think one that's important, especially in this generation, which is just about ensuring the culture of your business is fit for purpose.
It ties back into those, you know, the strategy and the clear alignment. Obviously, the culture is what we say is, you know, like essentially how relaxed are you?
Yeah.
Make sure, you know, if you want to take that approach, you know, are your staff happy?
Yeah.
You know, are you setting up maybe times for, you know, quarterly catch-ups or, you know, Christmas dinners or year-end dinners? Like, there's obviously businesses that may not even bother doing that.
Yep.
And that's fine if that works. But,
spot on.
You know, there's other businesses that enjoy doing this, you know, where they've got the culture and they might give you a RDO one day a month off and things like that just to promote.
And really, to me, this, you know, like all of this stuff all interlinks in some way, right? And it's, again, culture to me is just about that alignment piece a little bit. Culture is all, very simply, in my opinion, is making sure your staff are happy.
Yeah.
And there are 7 billion people on this planet, and some people like a certain type of happiness, some people like a different type of happiness. And the prime example is dress code. I always think about dress code when I come with culture. You ask me to wear a suit, I hate it.
Yeah.
Absolutely hate it. You ask other people to wear a suit, they feel amazing. They feel empowered. They feel strong. They love it. Culture isn't, oh, Google has a relaxed dress code, so I must be that. That's the best way to improve my business. Copy Google. No. Culture is just, for your business, what works? Are you happy with that? And does it get you to where you need to go? Some business need. You know, if I went to a law firm back in the day, if my dad went to a law firm back in the day and they weren't wearing suits, he'd be like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, yeah. Like, why am I using this guy? Yeah.
Now, if I go to a law firm and they're not wearing a suit, I'm like, oh, happy. This is kind of cool.
Yeah,
this is great. Right. Like, you know, it fits with me, right? You know, I don't like wearing suits. I'm like, amazing, right? If I go to a real estate agency, which I do sometimes, and they're all wearing suits, I feel uncomfortable. I'm like, man, I'm underdressed, right?
Yeah.
But for that organization, that's their culture. You walk into Ray White office, it is the way you do things. And they've hired people according that also fit that culture. But everyone's happy in that business.
Yeah, because it's a great alignment.
No one joins Ray White or a real estate agent
saying,
I don't want to wear a suit. I can't believe you're making me wear a suit. That's the culture, and they attract certain people. So the important thing with culture is don't change who you are to make your staff happy. Choose a culture. And you will find
people that
come
fit that.
And attract that way.
Yeah, yeah.
But it has to fit you. As a leader, you have to set the culture for you, because then it's just easy to be that way for 50 years.
Yeah, because we've got like TVs going in the office,
yeah. You
know, got the music going, and you know, people enjoy that environment. And then there's some rooms where you can lock yourself out and have a focused time, and there's no distractions. And you know, other parts is, some, you know, you're open.
Some clients would come in and see our Spider-Man photos on the wall and say, this is a childish office. I don't want to be a part. And it's like, okay, that's okay. There's plenty of clients that will come and go, I like Spider-Man. Or,
yeah, that's cool.
I like this. Or that painting is cool. Or your culture is really nice. Remember, culture is just about making yourself and the staff happy. And it's imperative to do that as a leader. Happiness breeds sustainability. And that's the success of business.
Yeah. Yep.
The next few are kind of all wrapped in together. But ultimately, I think the next one is just responsibility.
Yeah, taking
and ownership.
Responsibility. Yep.
And that is the one of the most key things that I took away in my journey of business is at the start when something goes wrong, you generally look for blame elsewhere. That client's an idiot, or that process was wrong, or that staff member didn't do something. But unfortunately, if you are a leader,
every problem is yours. Exactly. You got to take responsibility for everything that happens within the business. You know, if there was a mistake, you know, you got to drill down into why that happened. Obviously, try avoid the blame game and just dig into why that problem happened, and then is there a solution to fix, like, avoid that problem in the future? And if you just tackle it that way, and rather than just going, oh, well, you know, that client's shit, I don't want to deal with that client or whatever.
Yeah, or that, like, staff member made a mistake. That's a bad staff member, which is, I hear a lot. There's a book, obviously, you know, called Extreme Ownership, which is that Jocko Willink book, and it's the book I read, and it's one that I still remember to this day, where he talks about, like, Navy SEALs and how they operate, and everything in that world is do or die, and every problem is the leader's problem.
Yeah.
And I take that to absolute core. If your staff member does something, quote, incorrectly, it's very easy to go, shit staff member.
Yeah.
But the reality is, the way to look at it is,
have you trained them?
Did I set agenda? Yeah. Did I choose the right client for the business? Did I set expectations? If you tackle it from that manner, you already have four things there that you, as the owner, can fix that will probably help your staff member. It probably set a great culture. If you fix all of those, your staff member will feel supported and want to do better, rather than saying, in your performance review, that was a shit job.
Yeah, you did a shit job.
Now, there are times where people make mistakes, obviously, but you have to take ownership to a point where you can get down to a level and say, well, if the staff member continually makes mistakes, maybe the problem was I just hired the wrong staff
member.
You can go all the way deep down and realize that all the problems in your business are your fault. And once you accept that, you can solve problems rapidly because you are in control. You can take responsibility. You can communicate. These are just great words to talk about good emotions, but take ownership, I think, is the fundamental base of all of this. You have to set the strategy. You have to give direction. You have to be nice. You have to do everything in a small business.
Yeah, and the responsibility also, like, that's from a client's / staff side. You've also got the responsibility of, you know, running the business from an admin and cash flow point of view. So, like, you know, making sure your staff are paid on time, all your bills are paid on time, you know, any liabilities are always paid on time, you know, just to make sure, you know, you don't want, you know, someone saying, oh, well, this person always pays late, you know?
No.
So, ensuring all that thing, all those things are paid on time, you're not running into a negative cash flow, you know, ensuring all your obligations are done on time.
People.
You know, making sure you got the insurances in place. There's a lot of responsibility there. Just making sure that the business is also ticking those boxes as well.
You forget a staff member that works for you. And I always go to staff because it's the easiest thing to think about leadership. They are entrusting you with paying them their salary to achieve their life goals. Buy a house, buy my wife a ring, buy my kids a toy. When you think about it that
setting way. Setting up their retirement, like you're paying their super balances and all that.
When you think about it that way, you are heavily responsible for the success of your staff member's life. Like, forget clients. They are important too. They're coming to you for a service. They're paying for you for a service. Your staff member is joining you and your business in hopes of achieving whatever they want in their life. And so that is, I take that as a huge responsibility. We have staff in Sri Lanka and there's up to 18 of them now. And I want to know intimately family, their kids, because I go to bed at night going, if they are all happy, I've done my job.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, you know, I think leadership, like I said at the start, Oz and I always say, it's not something that you're taught, but I think the last point is to remember that you will develop your own style as a leader, and some people might not like it. And to be honest, who cares? It's your business. You run it your way. Try and run it a way, whatever way that is.
Yeah, and stick to that way.
And stick to it and develop in that box of doing it. But don't feel you have to change because you started the business. It's your way. It's kind of your way or the highway. Just make sure your way is aligned, well thought out, managed well.
But
you know, I often, when I started this business, had friends and family saying, oh, I read this article about Google doing this and Google provides lunches and all this kind of stuff. And it's just like, that's Google. Like, yeah. I'm not Google. I can't do that. My business would be buried into the ground if I did all that kind of stuff. I'm going to run it my way. And to be honest, we've had turnover in the start of this business before Oz and the accounting boys joined on board. And before we had Sri Lanka, I had people join the business. And Gav being one of them, he's been with me since the start. He's now a partner of the business. But we had people come and go because ultimately, if I think about it, my leadership style didn't fit with them.
Yeah.
And if I accepted that from the start, I would have skipped so many problems.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Amazing. Thanks again, guys. We'll reach out with more every week. And if you have anything special or you want any requests, hit the like button, hit a comment, and we'll go from there.
Yeah,
thanks again.
Thanks a lot. Cheers.
Bye.